Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Well, I can tell you two things that Department of Education has already done. We've gone through contracts and grants that had DEI programs as part of it and stripped that out or stopped those grants. And also, we've now launched investigations into five different universities, Harvard being one, Columbia was one, to make sure that they are getting rid of these anti-Semitic actions, programs, whatever it is they're doing. They have to stop it. This is dangerous. This is really about safety on campus. And we, you know, we believe our university should be open for freedom of expression, you know, free speech, open dialogue and debate, but not this kind of violence that is dangerous.
Yeah, zero tolerance. This is ridiculous that we have threats against our Jewish students or any students. And it's got to go. Earlier this morning, I reported to you that, in fact, 60 universities on the list, many across our region on the list, getting a warning, if you will, in particular about anti-Semitism on our college campuses. And good. I think we can all agree, right, that this is we should have zero tolerance. And so when our great executive producer, Dan Borowski, said, hey, there's a new book out called DEI Exposed, How the Biggest Con of the Century Almost Toppled Higher Education. I said, wow, this is awesome. Then we realized this is written by none other than a great local Drexel University professor. How awesome. Stanley K. Ridgely, Dr. Ridgely joins us. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Doctor.
Honored to have him.
Honored to have you. Dan's right. So, Dr. Ridgely, when, you know, we were excited about your book even when we didn't realize you were local, and then we realized you're local, and so thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, it's my pleasure. It's an honor to be on your show, and thank you so much for recognizing the book and, you know, recognizing my local flair here. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, if you could take us through what you're writing about this time around in this book. I know, I mean, your other books and Brutal Minds, a great book as well. But this one, wow, how appropriate that you wrote this, that it's released right now, DEI Exposed. And, you know, I'll say this, that the first time I heard about diversity, equity, inclusion, you know, but the first time you hear it, I'll be honest, you think, oh, well, inclusion. Yeah. These are nice words. You know what I mean? And you know, what could be the harm? Diversity, equity, inclusion. And so it's really something that is even the term, it's kind of a mask for something really kind of sinister and evil.
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head there. You know, diversity, equity, inclusion, or DEI, was essentially an empty decanter, and you could put anything you wanted to into it. Sounded good. Hey, you know, hey, what's wrong with that? Why don't we just invite this type of program into our campuses? What could be the harm? And that's been one of the key tactics that these folks have used, this allowing you to kind of define it on your own terms rather than actually having people look at really hard what it actually means. And it's a con game. And I say that very clearly. It's a big con. And what I mean by big con, I mean it's you find these DEI hustlers telling a compelling story, convincing story to a bunch of marks or suckers in an effort to separate them from lots of cash. And the sucker can be an institution full of suckers or simply a single person. And the idea is that they tell a convincing story that, and the story is that America is an inherently racist country. It's irredeemably racist. It's constructed on something called white supremacy culture. All white people are racists, are oppressors, are exploiters, villains, and all persons of color are, well, as it's convenient, are oppressed, exploited, and are victims. This is the story that DEI folks convinced universities and colleges to accept based on the unfortunate death of a criminal in the streets of Minneapolis back in 2020. And the idea was to get colleges and universities to accept some sort of responsibility and guilt for this whole situation, to convince them that their campuses are riven and rampant with racism. Now, of course, this is false. You know, you and I know it's false. Mm-hmm. Harvard Law professor Randall Kennedy, even said that campuses, the U.S. campuses, are some of the least racist places in America. And so it was a real coup for these DEI grifters to convince universities and colleges and administrators that, well, you're part of this problem, and we have a solution. We can grant you absolution. Bring us onto the campus with luxurious salaries, and we will train your students, your faculty, and your staff in the vicissitudes of racism. We'll teach them about oppression, and we'll teach them what to teach. We'll tell them what to teach. We will tell them who to hire. We'll tell them what's going to go on in the classes. And this has been the basis for the big con. And it is a wonderful business model if you want to admire it from that perspective. The idea, it's a resource extraction strategy called virtuous victimhood. That's what it's actually called in the psychological literature. It's very manipulative. It's part of the dark triad of the dark traits triad of Machiavellianism, narcissism, and psychopathology. And I talk about all of this in DEI Exposed. It's a long book with lots of citations, and I let the diversity grifters speak for themselves.
As I look at this, Dr. Ridgely, it's important to think about your background as well, as you alluded to. But with DEI, one thing that was written in the description of your book, talking about the monsters of DEI and the tentacles, and I want to get into that. But I will point out that in this monster, it's a weird situation because, in fact, it was not the monster under your bed. It was really something that has been seeping into places that we've really trusted. You know, our children's classrooms, and not just at the collegiate level, you know, and that's what you're really, when you talk about the tentacles, this goes well beyond just the impression of, oh, these are just at Harvard or Ivy League schools. That's not what this is.
Well, there are nationwide organizations of these folks. They're student affairs professionals, diversity officers, it's the National Association of Diversity Officers in Higher Education, who confab with each other, who write books, who have training sessions to train people in how to implement this DEI con on campuses nationwide. And what the most despicable and the most insidious thing is that when they operate these training sessions, they basically are trying to train people that ignore your lived experience, ignore what you think and know to be true based on your personal experience, and instead believe what we tell you about society. And they basically inflict or try to inculcate paranoia, hyper-suspicion, delusions of grandeur, narcissism, unappreciated genius, unwillingness to accept responsibility. It's the idea of rejecting reality of the true and false and accept this fake story of America as a racist nation rather than one of the greatest nations the world has ever seen, able to see faults and correct those faults as we move through history. This is not what DEI believes. They believe in this America as a system of oppressors and oppressed, exploiters and exploited, evil and good. And this is what they propound to faculty, to staff, and especially to students. And I personally believe that these people certainly should be kicked off the campuses only by virtue of what they're actually saying and doing on the campuses. It has nothing to do with a level playing field or giving everyone a fair shot or just teaching about race and teaching about slavery. It has nothing to do with that. If that happens, that's only as a byproduct and incidental to what their real agenda is. And as you say, it is insidious, and it does involve a lot of people moving in concert to make this sort of transformation of the university happen.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
You're listening to Dr. Stanley Ridgely, who's a clinical full professor professor of strategic management locally here, Drexel University, doctorate, master's in international relations and security from Duke University. My God, your resume is pretty impressive, sir. An international MBA from Temple University. And also, by the way, a Russian language linguist and former military intelligence officer. The book is DEI Exposed. Can't wait to get it. How did the hustlers pull it off? It's a question written by your bio of the book on Amazon as I'm ordering it. I can't, and I always share with my husband. So, you know, the thing about it is this is an important book to read, in my opinion, because of what you're saying, not just how they pulled it off, but the motive.
Yeah, well, the motive has been the motive of leftists from, you know, time immemorial, actually, into the last, say, 200 years. The idea is to transform the university from what we traditionally consider it, which is a marketplace of ideas where ideas of all sorts can contend with each other, winners pronounced and losers, you know, losing the fray and leaving for the exit. And this is not what they want. This is they being the left wing or the today's DEI proponents. They want a crucible of indoctrination. They say this explicitly. Frederick Jameson is a Marxist who was at a very famous Marxist theorist who was at Duke when I was there, said the purpose of the university is to train students for the struggles of the future. And he said this as a full-blooded legitimate Marxist. That's really runs a butt against the mainstream notion of the university as being this marketplace of ideas where logic and reason and scientific method and humane values and progress hold sway. This is their goal. And how they managed to pull this thing off, this con, it's really connected to the whole COVID fiasco. The idea of an unruly world. It's chaotic. We have to comply. It's connected to the BLM riots of the summer of 2020. Most university administrators didn't want to see that kind of unrest coming onto the campuses. So they readily accepted this fake guilt that the universities are somehow complicit in this white racist society, this white supremacy society. And they bought absolution from these DEI functionaries so that they could point to these functionaries and say, see, we're doing something about our complicity in this racist system. Let me point out, if you want an example of the big con, let me give it to you right now. Princeton University, 2020, a letter was written and signed by 300 faculty and staff at Princeton University claiming that Princeton was alive with rampant racism. That's their words. Well, a journalist by the name of Connor Friedersdorf asked the most obvious question. He, for the Atlantic magazine, he contacted the 300 signatories of this letter and asked them a simple question. Can you give me an example of this rampant racism that has occurred on the campus in the last 15 years? Mm-hmm. And not one of these signatories could provide even a single instance. In other words, the con story was accepted without any kind of questioning and propounded by faculty and staff at Princeton. That's what I mean by a con story that it limes and explicates a fake reality, then requires people to buy into that reality.
And so, okay, so how do you do the deep cleanse? I mean, I am reporting as far as the new Department of Education, what they're doing, and mainly it's a crackdown. In the headlines, they're saying the main crackdown is the anti-Semitism that we've seen against Jewish kids, which has happened here locally. I have friends impacted by this, and they're, you know, it's devastating. I think it's damaging, quite frankly, and horrible and criminal what happened to some of these kids. But, you know, and I say kids, you know, they're 18 to, you know, 20-ish. But so how do we get beyond this? I mean, how do we cleanse this out of our education system?
Well, the two-pronged strategy, I think, coming from the federal government, requiring the universities and colleges to adhere to U.S. civil rights laws, is one. And you've got the other, which was the University of, I should say, the Department of Education's letter warning, well, first of all, attacking and saying to Columbia for its lack of adherence to U.S. civil rights law, and then listing 60 other universities as being under investigation for various levels of anti-Semitism that's been endorsed. It's been the idea that you're not protecting your students, students of whatever political or ethnic persuasion, is absurd. It's a clear violation of your own rules. It's a clear violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution, the U.S. Civil Rights Laws, and it does come out of DEI. That's what a lot of people don't realize. The organized anti-Semitism is endorsed by DEI because of the framework that I've described to you, that in that far-off conflict between Israel and Palestine, Israel is the bad guy, and the so-called Palestinians are the good guys, regardless of what types of actions, what type of terrorist actions, what kind of barbaric behavior is engaged in. Israel/Jews are the bad guys. This is what their ideology tells them, and this is documented in DEI Exposed. How can we get rid of this? That's your question. Well, I think that the executive orders that have been issued by the Department of Education's Department of Office of Civil Rights is a really fine first step. And it's sending a message that, look, your federal funding is at risk if you don't start adhering to U.S. federal law with regard to individual rights, regard to constitutional protections. This is something that is really bracing and refreshing, I think. I think it's absolutely wonderful because it puts this type of thing on the table for conversation. It's a conversation that we should have had a long time ago. But, I'm celebrating now, hallelujah, that we're having a conversation now.
Well, I just wonder, you talked about them using the Civil Rights Act, but in this case, if anti-Semitism is part of this broader agenda or part of the DEI agenda, I think the natural question is, okay, so who in part funded this? Where is this coming from? Is it just the faculty? Is it their sourcing of money from certain wealthy, let's say, Middle East countries? What's going on here?
Well, I think the sourcing from Middle East countries, Qatar would be one, or Qatar, and it would be one. But I can't really point to that at this point in time. That would be an individual thing. But what I will say is a lot of the incendiary activities being sponsored by Students for Justice in Palestine and its various chapters around the country. And the sources of funding for that organization could be fruitfully, I think, examined. And some organizations are actually doing that sort of thing, trying to follow the money and find out who's printing all these signs, who is actually funding the communications network to make these sorts of things happen. My personal opinion on this, and I'm not a lawyer, but I will look at the fellow Khalil at Columbia who's been arrested. I think this is wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that he should be charged with the RICO statute, which is basically racketeering, because of his organization of the assault, the threats, the bullying, the trespass, the vandalism, all of these criminal activities going on at Columbia, this guy was largely responsible for. And given the fact that he's funded by this organization, Students for Justice in Palestine, does not exempt him from legal sanction. I think that this mask of free speech is just that. It's a mask. It doesn't really address the issues of what he's being charged with and why he was arrested. I think this is a really bracing breath of fresh air that and has changed the gravitas of the center of weight, the center of gravity of the conversation. And we're having these important discussions that, prior to this, weren't even on the table. And so this is, again, is good news. This is a good news story, believe it or not.
Drexel is one of the schools named in the 60 schools that, in other words, received this letter. So what's your reaction? I mean, this is your university. We love Drexel. We love our local universities. And so what's your reaction to the news of these 60 schools getting a letter? I guess it's a warning across the bow, so to speak.
Yeah, it's a lot of schools here. It's not simply one university or, say, five universities. It's a lot of schools. So I think that charge that perhaps you'll be investigated. I'm speaking about my own institution. That's going to, the investigation will find out if there's anything going on. I have no personal knowledge of why Drexel has appeared on this list, except to say I'm eager to find out what any investigation might reveal. And if there's anything that is untoward that is revealed, it probably ought to be corrected and corrected forthwith. I'm all for that.
Yeah, I was surprised. I mean, some of them and Drexel was one of the surprises for me. But they're, like you're saying, I think that maybe they're just, this is word publicly that they're investigating these. And that's in a very different category, for example, from Columbia, where we had the arrest happen and some tangible evidence, if you will, just last week. I just wanted to ask you how long you've been researching this. It's pretty timely. The book is out now. How long did it take you to write this, you know, extensive? You really research everything. So how long?
Well, it took me about a year, I would say.
Okay.
I foretold or foresaw this, because it came out last week, at the height of all the DEI brouhaha. But it's something that really emerged out of the book that I wrote 2 years ago called Brutal Minds. And if you want a full picture of the kind of activism, noxious, toxic ideology that is on our campuses, if you read the books in tandem, I think it gives a pretty clear and full picture of the decline of our higher education system, but also offers hope that this type of noxious ideology that is impacting and affecting our students is going to be expunged and expunged very soon.
And to your point, I mean, my sense is, I mean, most people on most college campuses, including locally here, are kind of relieved that this is over. Is that the sense you get, or am I way off here?
I will tell you that's the sense that I'm getting, because I get a lot of back channel. I get a lot of hate mail, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily coming from college or anything like that at Drexel, but from outside, I get a lot of hate mail. It's usually not very informed. It usually misses the point. But what I will say on the back channel is an awful lot of faculty and staff are absolutely relieved that this is being taken out of the universities. Many universities will try to just kind of expunge it from their websites, mm-hmm. and do this quietly, move the people out, and they won't announce it. You know, they announce the institution of DEI with great fanfare and ballyhoo, but they won't. But it's, when they're getting rid of it, they're not going to say, "Hey, we made a mistake." They're just going to kind of quietly let it go and stop wasting money on these lavishly compensated DEI bureaucrats, many of whom mm-hmm. receive compensation between $400,000 and $500,000 apiece. This is part of the scam,
mm-hmm.
and it's a good work or good non-work if you can acquire it. But I think the gravy train is coming to it's emptying out now, and we're going to see a realignment and restoration of America's universities.
Well, thank goodness. So, Professor Stanley Ridgely, Dr. Ridgely, the book is DEI Exposed. Get it. I hope you come back. I hope we continue the conversation. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. It was a privilege and honor, and good luck to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.